This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk, with Don Sola. With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Sola on AM 790 WPRV.
And we're glad to be here with you tonight. Welcome to the Money Talk program, everybody. I am Don Sola. Delighted to be sharing your drive time home with you. Do it safely, please. And, hey, as always, I love to give you good news. I'm a good news type of guy. Stock market had another fabulous day today. Volatile, yeah, sure, up and down all day long, challenging into the red, back into the black, and then finishing up more than 300 points. You had Boeing, probably the biggest contributor to those gains. The 30-stock index had traded down about 84 points at the session low, so that's in negative territory. The S&P 500, which is a, for those of you who don't really realize, you hear these numbers. I mean, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, everybody thinks of the Dow as the market. Well, it's 30 companies, and basically they choose the 30 to be, boy, as representative of what the overall U.S. economy looks like as it can be. But so it's going to have to change from periodic, you know, from time to time. You know, just to get some sense of what I'm talking about, there was a time in the early period, like in the beginning, the earliest part of the 20th century, where when they created the Dow Jones Industrial Average, one of the 30 companies that was in there was a company that made saddles and buggy whips and things like that, bridles. In other words, leather goods. Why? Well, there were not a lot of automobiles. I mean, maybe not any at the time. Most things that were moved around were moved by wagon, pulled by horses, or you could be riding on horses. So what do you need? You needed saddles, you needed bridles, you needed buggy whips, all those things. And then, so I imagine a company, if you were the dominant company in that field, you probably did very, very well. And you might have qualified to be one of the 30 companies that made up the Dow. But over time, that changes. Now, the NASDAQ was up about 1.6% today after falling as much as 0.2% early on. We saw big gains in Amazon, Netflix, Alphabet, Apple. They helped lift the tech-heavy index pretty nicely today. Now, the major averages all closed sharply higher yesterday as well, you know, climbing back, you know, further from the correction level that was hit last week. Remember, the correction is a 10% decline from the high. So when was the high? Well, the high was not that long ago. It was January the 26th. So wherever it was from there, dropping down, and the S&P dropped about 10.8%. Now, that level qualified it as a correction. So a decline of 10% from the high, it worked. Now, we've been recovering pretty much steadily since then, and we've had like five trading days in a row that have been pretty solid. Now, the volatility we saw in that correction is probably going to be here for a while. I mean, we're going to see this bouncing around. We don't have the sort of the dampening mechanisms we had in earlier years since the 09 through the 2017 timeframe. But, you know, in the end, the path of least resistance is still up. And fundamentals really haven't changed all that much. So the economy is looking pretty solid. And with whatever the administration in Washington is doing right now, at least there's enough positive things happening. Not enough generally, but enough for the market to continue pushing prices a little bit higher than where they are. That means that investors still have the expectation that earnings will continue to grow. So last Thursday, the indexes closed 10% below record highs set, like I mentioned, on the 26th of January. Now, one of the factors cited by investors and traders was a surge in interest rates going up to levels that hadn't been seen in a very long time. And when interest rates are rising, basically, I guess the simplest way to describe that and to make you understand why it matters is it means the cost of money's rising. If the cost of money's going up, the cost of doing things as an individual consumer or the cost of doing things as a business, as a corporation, raising money, all that stuff becomes more expensive. And when that becomes more expensive, then the potential is for the economy to slow down. Corporate earnings growth moving higher depends on the growth of the overall economy. So we don't necessarily like to see the early signs of economic activity mechanisms that could, you know, literally drive the cost of money higher and, of course, make the economy ultimately slow down. Stock futures traded higher despite the fact that the 10-year Treasury note yielded, the yield on that was hitting a new four-year high before the bell today. On Wednesday, stocks and bond yields actually rose together, which is very unusual. Now, we're really trying to reconcile an environment with higher rates and rising inflation, according to Ernie Cecilia. He's with a Bryn Mawr Trust. Volatility is, you know, going to continue. You know, you'll have good days, you'll have bad days. You'll have some days that jump around like a yo-yo, yet still ultimately finish in positive territory, like today. Today, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I mean, down over 80 points, the market, yet to finish up over 300. Go figure. We're still trying to make a bottom here, I guess, which is an official support level that the market simply won't go through, and it's going to be used as a base for future market activity. But it's going to take a little bit of a while. I don't think the bottom happens that quickly. Now, volatility has actually come back, and it's in some areas of the market with a vengeance, following a year of unprecedented, I guess the term they're using is calm in the market. But it's almost benign market movement, almost boring. But I guess that boring lack of volatility did okay because the market in general finished up anywhere from 15 to 20% or higher, depending upon where you were invested. Now, in the previous nine sessions or so, the S&P 500 has logged in seven moves that were greater than 1%. These are big swings. A 1% move on a market this size is big. The broader index posted just 1%, 8 1% moves during all of 2017. Now, on the data front today, you had jobless claims coming out. That increased by about, jobless claims went up about 7%, excuse me, about 7,000 jobs, to a seasonably adjusted 230,000 jobless claims. That's rebounding from a near 45-year low. Now, the producer price index rose 0.4% in the month of January, which was right in and around the line that analysts had been expecting. That means, really, that's passed through to the cost of goods that are available for sale within the economy. So if the prices are rising, it means that at some point those things can be. We look to see if they're rising fast enough that it's going to require companies to actually increase their prices. So if production prices are rising, then of course the corporations, companies will pass those through to the buyer, the potential consumer, and that creates potential inflation. Now, in corporate news, Cisco Systems jumped 3.3%. Big day for Cisco after reporting better than expected earnings. The company also posted its first year-over-year revenue increase in more than maybe 2 years. I was actually listening to an analyst who tracks Cisco saying that, well, I mean, God bless any investors that are in the damn thing, because ultimately we haven't seen the stock move in 20 years. So getting some exciting activity all of a sudden here for Cisco Systems, whose symbol is CSCO, he thought that was pretty cool stuff. I'd be careful. I mean, some of these companies that have had short-term moves, or even big moves to the upside, be careful whether they may just be an aberration or an anomaly, or whether they represent a genuine trend. People that are bullish on Cisco Systems will say, well, the stock has been reflective of its weak activity the last two decades even. But all of a sudden now they've made some major adjustments in their management. They're doing other things. They're resetting themselves. It's sort of a reset for the company, which may ultimately mean a reset for the stock. But we'll have to take a look at that, see what happens going forward. Some sources were telling CNBC today that Amazon is teaming up with Bank of America to provide loans to merchants. Amazon fell 0.4%, while Bank of America was trading flat overall today. On today's program tonight, I'm going to be talking a little bit about, retirement is such a broad-based topic. On occasion, I like to actually grab some element of it to say, well, how can we focus, since it's such a complex area of our lives, there's so many different important decisions that have to be made. So on tonight's program, we're going to talk a little bit about how to reduce taxes in retirement. And my mother used to say, it's not what you make that matters, it's what you keep that counts. I think she was talking about the IRS. So we'll talk a little bit about the IRS, but more importantly, some strategies you can employ, not just in retirement, but as you also approach retirement, some things you might want to be doing to make sure that the amount of potential revenue you receive is revenue you get to keep and actually get to use to support that lifestyle that you're hoping for. Hey, folks, I'm Don Sowa. You're listening to the Money Talk program here on AM 790. Stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Sponsored by United States Traffic Network. Looking to add your talent to a dynamic company? United States Traffic Network seeks a motivated account executive to join the sales team. Send your resume to ustrafficnetwork.com/careers.
At Pronzi, we've built our reputation providing an uncompromising level of service and elegance. Every detail carefully considered, whether it's a grand wedding or a holiday party. When the hard work of preparation is over, it's all about your celebration, the joy and laughter of each guest. the ultimate compliment of satisfaction. Add an extra dimension of quality, service, and value to your wedding. Call Pronzi Catering and Events today for a personal consultation. 401-383-3631 or visit pronzi.com.
Everyone's talking about nickels and dimes. At Courtesy Kia, our President's Day sale starts today by announcing a sale of presidential proportions.
Keep your tax return money in the bank and get to Courtesy Kia where you drive with nothing down, not even a dime.
Vehicles are being sold below cost. They won't even take a dime.
Have a trade, get up to twice as much as it's worth.
Drive a 2018 Kia Optima LX from $159 a month with zero down. And if you have credit troubles, don't worry. Courtesy is offering credit relief to all. If you have a job, you're approved.
Speaking of approved, I approved this message and I tweeted it.
And always remember Courtesy's founder, John's belief.
If you bought anywhere else, you pay too much.
Located on Route 1A at the South Attleboro Pawtucket Line or visit online 24/7 at drivecourtesy.com.
36 Hey, my name's Brant. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care. They're joining MediShare and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network, too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7, so if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those why did I wait on this things, and if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program, everybody. I'm Certified Financial Planner Professional Don Sowa, the host of the Money Talk program. We're doing the show for, this is our 28th year on the radio, for those of you who are relatively new. I know I have that very youthful young voice, but I've been doing this for a few years. And so is my colleague, Steve Beauvais, who will be doing the show tomorrow evening at 5. And hey, and even the new generation has come in for the last 2 or 3 years now. Donna Soa Allard, my daughter, she herself is an investment advisor and a certified financial planner professional. And she loves to come in and chat with you, give you some ideas. It's Get Back to Basics Tuesday when she's here, and trying to really take some what are sometimes relatively complicated strategies or ideas or things that you hear in the media or elsewhere. Some of it's marketing stuff, whatever, but she takes that and tries to translate it for you into plain English. I mentioned the sort of the promo for this segment of the show is this idea that, you know, you work your whole life. Hopefully you're highly you have to be disciplined to put money away and save it. Because let's face it, over decades of doing this, you're going to find lots of reasons to spend that money, right? Lots of little challenges come your way, roadblocks. So if you're fortunate enough to have accumulated a decent nest egg, whether you did it through personal savings accounts or whether your company helped you out with a company-sponsored plan like a 401k or a 403b, you have to make some really key critical decisions. Now, hopefully you're making these decisions, let's say in the last, I'd give yourself the last, honestly, the last decade, hopefully more, but at least the last decade before you actually close the door on the job. See, the job is a money machine, right? I mean, you have a talent, you have a skill, you have a service you can provide. Somebody's willing to pay you for your time and your effort. That's the company. That company is the money machine. and they pay you for the service you provide. Now, while you are spending seemingly like a lifetime working, you're also, in addition to supporting the lifestyle you have, you're also building your own money machine, the one you hope will be available, controlled by you, and large enough to support the lifestyle that you feel that you've earned after all those hard years of work. Now, among the issues you have to confront now is many of the plans that are out there, many of the tools that you had available to you, these various types of savings or investment accounts, many of them had tax shelters attached to them as part of them. Maybe you get a deduction for your contribution. Maybe the money grew tax sheltered internally when you, so that even if you move stuff around inside the plan, the IRA or whatever it is, you don't get taxed on it. The idea is it's tax favored, and you can make adjustments over a lifetime of saving and investing that are not going to be adversely affected by taxes during those years. The problem is most of these types of plans are going to be taxed when the money comes out. So at that point when it's most important, when you actually need to take the money out, you're going to be dealing with some sort of a tax liability. Now, government wants to encourage you, the IRS wants to encourage you to save and grow your pot of money as large as it can possibly be, you know, so that you'll be as independent as possible when you get into your 60s and older. So that they can, who knows what the future of Social Security retirement is going to be. My guess is going to be that they're going to try to, well, they're going to try to create a situation where individuals who can support themselves in retirement will not maybe need to receive assistance, shall we say, from the Social Security Administration. We've heard versions of this since I started my career, believe it or not, over 35 years ago. I've been hearing different versions. Sometimes they called it means testing, that a person would, you know, they would calculate what you, what you're eligible for at full retirement based upon contributions you've made into the plan. The problem is this: they're going to be working very hard to, and you'll hear it by the terminology the government uses to make, and they're doing this already, to make Social Security retirement sound less like a savings or investment plan that you're funding with contributions up to 5% of your pay. Money comes out as part of FICA, right? And it goes into the Social Security system. It supports, you know, FICA, Social Security retirement, Medicaid, and Medicare, three primary, the triad of retirement. But that 5%, which over the years could be a fairly substantial amount of money, and actually for an average individual starting with their first job, maybe even in their teens, I mean, I was actually a student worker. I had to get working papers from the school department so I could work. And there were limits on how late I could work and things like that. But I had a job as a dishwasher in a restaurant early on when I was 14. And even then, I got a paycheck, and I can still remember my pay was $1.25 an hour at that time. And I think they took federal and state taxes out and social and FICA. So I was contributing to Social Security when I was 14 years old. That was wild. That's over 50 years ago. Yes, okay, so I just gave away that I'm not a young fella after all. Although I convinced myself that I'm younger than I really am. But the bottom line is, contributing into a system like that, if you think of it like you're funding a retirement plan or funding a savings or investment plan, you're going to have a sense of entitlement. Maybe that's the wrong word to use, but entitlement that you say, well, geez, when I get to my retirement age, I have an expectation the government's going to send me money. Now, one thing that I thought, hey, here's a good idea. Now, the government, probably part of Social Security, is problematic, and that is there are individuals who will retire at my full retirement age, when it would be age 67, given the year that I was born. And at that age, I would receive a specific benefit. Now, if I choose not to receive the benefit, which is my choice, and let's say I go out to age 70, over that period of time, the check that I would receive or be eligible for will grow by approximately 8% per year. So I could get anywhere from 30 to 35% more money at age 70 from Social Security if under the current law, whatever the deal is, if I'm eligible to receive it. Maybe this, if I don't need the income, and in my world, I mean, I love what I do for a living. I'm hoping that I'll be well into my 70s, and my daughter, who will probably be the boss in the company, she'll let me. She'll say, okay, Dad, I moved your desk into the storage room, but you know, you can come in and have coffee once in a while and meet a few clients here and there. Like I said, you have to wait. The next generation will slowly but surely, you know, make the transition into running the business. But I'll tell you, these kids are so smart, though. I mean, they know more about computers and technology and all these things than you can even imagine. And I learned that already. I mean, I'm at that point now when the back office calls up from Boston and says they have all these new wonderful new online services, and I just send either my son, who's the director of operations, or my daughter, who's already a senior advisor. I'll send her up to Boston. I said, you guys go learn that stuff. He said, I'm not going back to school to learn how to run a computer. I said, I'll just meet with my clients. But it's a difference between relationships like we did years ago and in the world of modern technology today. I'm hoping that for people like Steve Beauvais and I, the lessons that we passed on to the next generation of advisors, even that work for firms like ours, we will teach them and remind them the importance of the relationship. The computers are cool, the products are neat, the strategies are unbelievable, and you know, the way in which we communicate, you know, high tech, it gets better and better all the time, and of course it will make things easier, hopefully, for clients as well. You can communicate with them no matter where you are in the world, but at the same time, I say that, you know, this. A money management relationship is, in fact, just that. It is a relationship, and it's almost like a partnership. And the client must feel that the advisor knows them, knows what they're doing, knows what their plans are, and understands your concerns. And among the big concerns that people are going to have is, number one, am I going to have enough money when I retire? And whatever amount of money that I'm going to be able to receive, the amount that I can reasonably take out of my savings plans, you know, will I get to keep most of it? You know, how much is going to go to taxes? So tonight's program is about reducing your taxes in retirement. Taxes might not be the first thing you think about when it comes to how you want to spend your money in retirement. Planning strategically can mean more funds for the things that, of course, that you love and things that you want to do and some of the necessities. Now, that's why when you are budgeting for retirement, trying to figure out whether you're going to have enough money to do so, it's important to factor in how much of your money will be going to the IRS each year. And how much you get to keep. Like as my mom says, it's not what you make that matters, it's what you keep that counts. Reducing your taxes after retirement can help you reduce, you know, the savings you need to retire in the first place. And of course, a lot depends on a few factors, including where you're living, what your plan is. Not all states are created equal when it comes to taxes. And when it comes to, say, taxes in retirement, there are 7 states that have no income tax at all. Tennessee and New Hampshire only tax interest and dividends. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have states like California has probably their top tax bracket. It's the state tax is 13.3%, meaning that the Golden State isn't really topping the list of retirement-friendly places for you to spend your golden years. You almost certainly have other factors that you'll consider when you're deciding, you know, where you actually want to live in retirement, aside from which places are most tax-friendly. But you know something? That's an important factor nowadays, and it's becoming, especially a state like, don't move to California, then suddenly act like you're shocked that they're taking almost 14% of your money when you have states that, you know, have a far more reasonable tax code, even though they make you actually pay some taxes. Now, if you haven't finished working yet, and that's why I said, start this conversation, start this planning 10 years, if any, 10 years before you actually retire. Consider whether you actually should be contributing to a pre-tax retirement account like a traditional IRA or a 401k. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be using them. I'm saying, should all of your money be going into the ones that you get the deduction going in? Or should you be looking at maybe an after-tax retirement account like a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. Now, you'll use after-tax dollars. You'll pay some taxes up front. But once the money is inside the Roth, whether it's a 401k or an IRA, it's going to be tax sheltered. You're going to be able to move the money around periodically and make adjustments and reallocations when you need to. It's not going to cost you anything from a tax perspective when you do that. But most importantly is that how is it going to be treated when the money comes out? If you expect to have more taxable income once you retire, whether that's from dividends or Social Security payments or selling investments, you can reduce your taxes by contributing perhaps to a Roth-style account so that the distributions won't be all taxed. We'll talk some more about this. I got to take a quick break here, and I'll be right back with more Money Talk. I'm Don Sowa.
Hi, this is Sarah Bain, head coach of the Brown Bears women's basketball team. Join us for our game Saturday, February 24th at 4 p.m. as we take on Ivy League rival Cornell. This is our last regular season game of the year, so please help us pack the Pizzatola Center as we make our run to the Ivy League tournament.
Pull up three is good. She knew it
that.
When she let it go.
The Brown versus Cornell women's game is presented by Alex and Ani. Visit brownbeers.com for game and ticket information.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane or tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Army National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association at this station.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email, so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we're back with the Money Talk program, everybody. I'm Don Sowa. I'm talking a little bit about the world of taxation and the importance of understanding and accounting for taxes when you do your retirement planning. Now, if you expect that income tax rates, possibly, the rates themselves will increase in future years, well, then you might want to consider converting a portion of your retirement savings, money you already have in an IRA, for example, to a Roth IRA. You could do it as a conversion. Yes, you'll pay taxes in the year that you do the conversion. So if you wanted to convert, say, $25,000 of your existing IRA into a Roth, you may say, well, I don't want to do the whole $25,000. That'll be like adding $25,000 of income to my tax return. So instead, split it up. You could actually do it over a five-year period, $5,000 each. That may have very little impact on your tax picture. But the later withdrawals from the Roth account, when you do need to take that money out in the future, that'll be tax-free. Again, very, very important having, even if all of your income can't come out tax-free, it would be really nice to have some of it, right? So, again, incremental planning. You don't have to take a particular strategy and employ it with all of the money that you actually have. Now, if you are covered by a high deductible health insurance plan, you're allowed to actually contribute money to a health savings account, HSA, each year. The money in the HSA grows tax-free and comes out tax-free as long as you use it as distributions for medical expenses. In other words, qualified use. Now, the IRS permits you to roll money from your traditional IRA into an HSA and do that tax-free. Now, you can do that up to your contribution limit for the year. So if you're sitting down with your tax professional or your financial planner, it's a good time to get all the little in-between details. On tonight's program, we don't have time to talk about all the elements, but we want to talk about the broad strategies for you so you'll know the kind of questions you should be asking. Now, with a traditional IRA, your distribution is going to be taxed as ordinary income, even if you're using the money for medical expenses, right? So this is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, as the IRS rules limit you to just one IRA to HSA rollover during your lifetime. So this isn't going to be one of those things that allows you to roll massive amounts of money from an HSA over to from an HSA over to an IRA, but it's something to consider with some money. Now, when you take money out of a tax-deferred retirement plan like your 401k or a 403b, you're going to pay income taxes on the distributions at what is your marginal tax rate, ordinary income. The higher your marginal tax rate, the higher your tax bill is going to be when you distribute the money from your plan. For example, if you are, say, in a 10%, this is for simple math. If you're in the 10% tax bracket, a $10,000 distribution from your traditional IRA is going to cost you $1,000 in taxes, 10% of the distribution. But the same $10,000 distribution costs you $2,400 in taxes if you have, you know, if you have more income and fall into the 24% tax bracket. So if you're in the 24% tax bracket and you draw out $10,000 from your IRA or your rollover, you may actually be paying $2,400 in taxes at that 24% bracket. So during years that you have more taxable income potentially, such as when you sell stocks that generate some large capital gains, minimize your distributions for pre-tax accounts. So again, avoid doing things that might inadvertently create a tax liability. So if you're going to sell an asset, whether it's real estate or stocks or whatever, that have a substantial amount of embedded gains, this, if you haven't been talking to your financial advisor or your CPA or your tax preparer, this would be a good year to do that. Maybe it's a good idea to actually have the conversation before you make this, engage in the sales activity. You know, maybe there may be a reason to do things differently. You know, learn that and learn those things in advance, okay? Now, if you make a charitable contribution during the year and you're over 70 and a half years old, you can use your required minimum distribution. Remember, if you're not taking any money out of your IRA account when you're 67, 8, 69, even at age 70, when you turn 70 and a half, there's something called the RMD, or required minimum distribution rule. The IRS has been giving you all these tax-favored opportunities, shall we say, to get a deduction on your contribution when you're making the contribution, to let the money grow tax-sheltered when it's growing over the years. But when you finally take the money out, that's when the government's going to finally get their share of the tax revenue. That's how they pay their bills, right? So at some point, they decided, you know, there are people out there who maybe they have a pension. Maybe with their pension and Social Security, they'd take this $200,000 or $300,000 IRA rollover that they have here. They might choose never to take the money out. Actually, I know people that feel that way. Matter of fact, the most aggravating thing that they deal with when now that they're in their 70s is that every year they have to take some money out of their 403b, their 401k, or their IRAs, and pay taxes on it when they're taking the money out not by their own choice. One person said to me, I don't need the money. I'd rather, you know, leave the money, let it compound, let it grow, and let my kids and grandkids inherit the money later on. Well, that's perfectly fine. But the government says, well, if that's the case, then we never get our tax revenue. And we have bills to pay too. So you can actually use your required minimum distribution, the money that does come out, which is about 3.64% the first year. The year you turn 70 and a half, that first calculation is going to be about 3.64. So if you had a $100,000 IRA, the amount you're going to have to take out will be about $3,640, $3,650. Now, your trustee, whoever handles every IRA, every of these accounts has a trustee, whether it's like Citizens Trust Company, Fidelity Management Trust Company, Putnam Fiduciary Trust Company. And these trust companies are the ones that are designed to make sure that the plans are properly sheltered for tax purposes. And, of course, that you know the trustee's job is to make sure when you are 70 and a half that they tell you, yes, you do, in fact, have to do a required minimum distribution. Now, when that money comes out, the analogy I gave you on a $100,000 IRA was $3,640 that's going to be added to your tax return. Now, what about if you make a charitable contribution the same year you do the distribution from your IRA? You can use your RMD, your required distribution, from a traditional IRA to actually make the donation to the charity. Again, this assumes two things. Number one, you don't need the money. And number two, you don't want to pay taxes on it. And number three, you have some qualified charitable organization that you want to fund, that you want to support. You can kill two or three birds with one stone here. You can exclude up to $100,000 from your taxable income by giving it this way. Now, making the charitable contributions directly from your IRA, from your required minimum distributions, means that you receive a tax benefit for your contribution, a deduction, even if you don't itemize your return. You don't have to be a person that itemizes on your tax return. A lot of people don't. Matter of fact, more than 70% of people don't actually itemize on their tax return. They use the standard deduction, which under the new tax code for most people is going to be double what it was once before. But if you are going to make a charitable contribution from your required minimum distribution, you can actually avoid having that money added to your tax return. Now, that's important for a couple of reasons. Because the income isn't included in your taxable income for the year, because you've made a charitable deductible charitable gift. And that could mean less of your Social Security benefit is going to be taxed. Your Social Security benefit is taxed based on a formula of what you earn, interest from various things, including the Social Security benefit. So if you've reduced your taxable income by making a charitable gift, you may potentially reduce the taxes you pay also on your Social Security benefit. How cool is that? Hey, folks, I'm Don Sowa. You're listening to the Money Talk program here on AM 790. We're your home of talking business. Glad to be here with you tonight. Market's doing well. Glad you're enjoying it, I hope. You're probably, if only slightly negative right now, you probably just moved today back into the black after the roughly 10.8% correction that took place in the market over the last couple of weeks. So you're now on the move through what will probably be an up and down year, a little bit of volatility, but probably if you are invested properly, you're going to get to the end of the year and you're going to make some money. Maybe not as much as you made last year in 2017, which was an anomaly, and we talked about that. But you're going to make money anyway, maybe more than your average level of return that you would expect in this time frame. Hey, folks, I'm Don Sowell. We'll be right back, so please stick around.
Sponsored by Tax Doctor. Owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Call the Tax Doctor to settle tax debt for less. 800-542-9112. 800-542-9112.
Welcome to the Maya Miguel Challenge. Meet Maya and the gang.
Oh, hi, I'm Maya.
Maya and her friends want you to get up and play because it's always more fun to be active.
Let's get started.
Just go to letsmove.gov and look for Maya and Miguel. You'll find tons of fun activities that'll help keep you healthy and active. Whether you play sports, run, dance, or jump in place, just get up and play at least an hour a day. Take the Maya and Miguel Challenge today at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
Hey, my name's Brant. You ever make a change and then wonder, why didn't I do this a long time ago? That's what's happening for thousands of people with regard to their health care. They're joining MediShare, and then they're wondering, why didn't I already do this? For most members, it costs less than half what they were paying for their old health plan. There's a huge provider network, too. You can customize your plan, and this is awesome, MediShare members can go online with a doctor 24/7, so if you need a prescription for the flu or something, it's so convenient for you and your family. So yeah, this is one of those why did I wait on this things, and if you don't love your current health plan, you're not stuck with it. You can join MediShare anytime. By the way, to give you an idea, the typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. It just makes so much sense. Check it out. They're super easy to talk to. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
It's your car. You take it to people you trust. It's your finances. You want to go to the experts.
Cut your payments by 50%.
We've got to find a way to get out from under this debt.
We can help.
The National Foundation for Credit Counseling is a nonprofit organization that has been helping people for 60 years. Speak with a counselor today at 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. This is a public service campaign for the NFCC.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Program, everybody. Talking a little bit about some tax strategies you may want to employ potentially once you're getting close to retirement or even in retirement. Among some of the choices you make about the types of investments you use, there are such things as tax-efficient investments. And these, of course, would matter if you're in a taxable account, like an individual or a joint account. As you get older, many people begin moving a larger portion of their investments, their portfolios, from stocks over to bonds because they've been told that under normal circumstances that bonds are going to be less risky than stocks. And that's probably true. I would warn you, though, that bonds carry with them different kinds of risks than you'd normally expect from stocks. So it's a learning curve. And, you know, people are shocked from time to time when they suddenly discover the types of bonds because they aren't all created equal. And the type of bond that they chose to help reduce volatility and risk in their plan didn't quite do what they thought it would do. Now, some bonds, if one of the risks you're dealing with is the cost of taxation, some bonds are actually exempt from certain types of taxes. For example, federal bonds, like U.S. Treasuries, for example, they're exempt from state income tax. Similarly, state and local bonds, like if you use a state of Massachusetts municipal bond or even bonds that are issued by municipalities within the state, the same to be true for Rhode Island and other states, they're exempt from federal income tax, and the benefit there may be you're going to be exempt in many cases from federal, state, and local taxes. Now, if you happen to be, for example, a resident living in Manhattan, New York City, this is a state that has where you would have federal income tax, state income tax, in local income taxes. I mean, we've seen people where they talk about a marginal rate at 39.6%, but by the time they're done, they're looking at giving half of their money to the government in taxes because there's so many darn taxes out there. If you were to buy a New York State municipal bond, though, that's, you make sure that you're talking to your advisor so they're picking the correct one, but that may alleviate you from having to pay income tax at the federal level, the state level, and at the city level, in the local level, avoid those local taxes. That could be sizable. So even though, you know, one of the things you'll be warned about is that the return on municipal bonds is going to be slightly less than the return on taxable bonds. Depending on your tax situation, if you're in a high enough tax bracket, it may well be worthwhile. So in the end, you have to calculate what they call the adjusted tax rate that you have based on the types of bonds you have. But like I said, you could ask the right questions. Like I said, tax-free bonds often pay a lower interest rate than the taxable ones. So you can compare the two. You say take a regular higher interest rate paying bond with a higher dividend and then calculate how much of that dividend you'd get to keep after you pay all the taxes. And that would give you some sense of, if you're able to calculate it that way, based on the amount you're willing to invest, then look at what you'd be getting on the municipal the actual tax-exempt municipal bond, you may realize for the person who's the higher taxpayer, has a higher tax rate, the municipal bond may be the way to go. Again, how much of a benefit it is, it will be unique from person to person. Now, there's some strategy that goes into where you take your money from once you retire. You may have sources of income, such as a pension, if you're fortunate enough. Very few people do nowadays. You may have Social Security benefits. Which is great. These fall into the category, in my mind, of a dependable source of income because it's something that's going to be sent to you every month, typically wired right into your checking account. So you look at that as a piece of the budget. I've always said calculate your fixed expenses. And ideally, it'd be nice if your dependable sources of income covered your fixed expenses, leaving your investment income and the money you draw from various investment plans like IRAs and elsewhere. That money can be used to pay for discretionary expenses. And those are typically expenses that you can make some judgments about, whether you do the buy, whether you do the sell, how much you spend on various discretionary activities, including entertainment, including benevolence, gifting, just their lifestyle choices, quite frankly. But both retirement, different type of accounts, like Roth retirement accounts, Roth IRAs, maybe Roth 401ks now exist, they let you take qualified withdrawals in retirement. So you're over 67, actually, if you're over 59 and a half, and you draw money out of your Roth, it's going to come out tax-free. Now, because these withdrawals won't push up your taxable income, you can actually take out maybe a little bit of extra money from your Roth account each year when you already have significant taxable income from other sources. It may also be the place you go to if you have a big ticket expense. You have to make a repair in the kitchen or maybe the roof or the outside deck has got to be replaced. I mean, any number of things where you're going to be expending thousands of dollars. You know, I would really rather not take that out of my IRA or what was my 401k plan. If I have an account, though, that's either a taxable portfolio where I can exercise some strategy, like an individual or a joint account, sell some assets at a loss to offset assets you're selling at a gain. It's a wash. That's nice. Or if you have a sizable enough balance in your Roth account, you can treat the Roth account like it's a nest egg or an emergency fund and only use it when a big ticket expense unexpectedly pops up. Say you sold your home because you're downsizing to a smaller one. And maybe you're going to have a six-figure capital gain as a result of that sale. Taking distributions from your Roth account rather than from your traditional retirement plans could help to lower your taxes or at very least minimize the impact of the sale of the house. That, again, there's that big ticket item. Unfortunately, in that case, you're having a difficult time avoiding paying some taxes. The good news, at least, is if you've owned that house long enough, and again, talk to your financial advisor, your CPA, if you've owned it long enough, you're likely not going to have to pay, the highest rate of tax we pay, the ordinary income rate. Many times you may be paying long-term capital gains on the sale of a house. Again, this assumes you're not using it to purchase another house. Now, I mentioned the idea of harvesting capital losses if you're in a high-income year. As your income shifts from, say, earned income with a W-2 or a 1099 form at work over to perhaps capital gains income, you have a little bit more control over when you actually have to recognize income as well as losses on your tax return. This actual issue gave rise to a tax reduction strategy known as tax loss harvesting. From time to time, you could go in and sell an asset in your taxable account and sell it because it has an embedded loss in it. There are times, even in a great portfolio, that some of the holdings in the portfolio are going to go down. And if you go in and you sell them, let's say if you've owned that asset in the account for over a year, and now you have long-term capital losses, you can sell them. And if this year you don't have long-term capital gains that you could use to offset it, you can actually carry them forward into future years for other tax planning years. Essentially, the idea is that in years when you have higher income, you actually sell investments that have not done so well in the interim period. You can sell them, and the losses that you create by doing that will offset some or all of the income and lower your tax bill. Now, the IRS imposes certain rules that affect what you can do, so you actually should talk to your CPA or your financial planner for that. But it's great to have that. It's why it's not unusual when you talk to a household, you look at a client household, and they may own an IRA rollover each. Maybe they each have a Roth, but they probably also have a joint account in there. And hopefully they funded each of these five different accounts, two traditional IRAs, two Roths in one joint account. If they funded them properly, then in addition to having wonderful saved assets that can be turned into income efficiently, hopefully, you can make it a more efficient way of distribution by selectively choosing which of the accounts you take the money from. Not a bad idea. Now, you might be able to maybe save on your taxes if you are a person who does, in fact, you use certain types of strategies, and you actually itemize your deductions. If you want to bunch those deductions, by bunching your deductions, if you're a person who does itemize for the year, you know, if they're fairly close to the standard deduction, you typically write off deductible expenses in the year you pay them. For example, medical expenses are deductible in the year you pay them. So if you have, say, surgery near the end of the year, if you pay the bill in December of 2018, the deduction goes on your 2018 tax return. But if you pay in January of 2019, you must deduct it in 2019. If by lumping your deductible expenses in the same tax year, you can itemize 1 year and then maybe claim the standard deduction the next year if it's the appropriate thing to do when you have minimal deductible expenses to deal with. So, I mean, lots of things that you can ultimately do. And granted, some of this is just common sense. Obviously, cutting your tax bill isn't quite as easy as skipping your morning latte or maybe calling your cable company and canceling some of your subscription items. Even so, lowering your living expenses as you get closer to retirement means that you'll need to withdraw less money from your savings plans, from your taxable retirement accounts, of course, during retirement, during the year. Not only does this mean that more money stays in your bank account or your investment account, it also means that you have less taxable income, and therefore your taxes are ultimately lower pretty much across the board. Again, it's all about discipline. It's all about you. It's all about, very importantly, dealing with the one risk that people are starting to realize. Now that we're living as long as we are, and generationally, it's more and more people are going to live to be 100 years old, especially from my children, by the millennials generation. It's going to be very commonplace to live into the late 90s and into the hundreds. Make sure you don't outlive your money. One way of doing that is be disciplined, save when you can, start early, let it compound, and do it in a way, and make sure you structure it in a way as you get to retirement, where you're going to limit your tax liability. Hey, thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm Don Sowa. You've been listening to Money Talk. In the meantime, have a great evening.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these...